Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. As you know, I love to cook, and I'm always excited to be able to find out about new things that I can share with my family and, of course, my extended family, that being my radio audience. Our next guest is Sonoko Sakai. We're going to talk to her not only about her new book, Rice Craft, but what it's been like for her to share her own love of cooking with others, as well as through books like this, and what it's been like for her also to be able to share different ways that we can be able to try foods like rice, whether it's white rice or brown rice. Sonoko gives us some great recipes in this book. A lot of them I had never tried before, never heard of, but she's been able to show us how we can do something that's delicious but also healthy as well. If you're just now finding out about the book Rice Craft, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Sonoko, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much for inviting me to your program.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. You know, when I was prepping for your segment, as I said, I love to cook. That is, I tell people that's one of the ways I express, you know, if I like you, if I invite you over for a meal. and what was so great in watching, when I was prepping for your segment, I went back and watched some of the workshops you had done that are available through Vimeo and YouTube. And you can tell the passion that you have for not just cooking, but being able to share that. So what has that been like for you, Sonoko, to be able to have a love of cooking the way that you have it and then to be able to share it with us?
Well, I've basically taking what I learned from my mother and grandmother growing up in Japan and all around the world. I've lived in Mexico. I was born in New York and lived in different cities in the United States and Japan. But they were always, they try to preserve our culinary tradition by cooking at home. And we never hardly, I mean, there were five kids in our family, so we never really went out to restaurants. So it was always about my mother's cooking or my grandmother's cooking. And I really think that it's important for families to try to eat well and eat at home. And I really thought that there was something that I could share to my American audience, things that things about Japan that would be very easy and something that they could incorporate into their kitchen without, you know, without having to feel like it's too exotic or too intimidating. And that's why I thought rice is such a universal food. I could start right there.
Exactly. And it's also something that, again, I did not realize, and I guess I should, you know, growing up in the South, you know, Sonoko, where we try to find variations on everything there is in the kitchen. I never realized there were so many different types of ways to enjoy rice. I mean, of course, when you throw in bacon, who doesn't love bacon, right? So, I mean, so, yeah, that in itself is such a big one. But has that also been part of the joy, knowing that you have been able to, you know, to be able to share these different variations with people that they never thought about?
Right. I mean, when I came to this country as a teenager again, after living overseas, I found out that the only rice most people were eating was the long grain rice, you know, like Uncle Ben's. But I grew up in a culture where you eat a stickier, shorter grain rice or medium grain, and it does a whole other things for you when the rice is slightly stickier, including making rice balls, which are portable as sandwiches. And I mean, we eat them all day long, but you could stuff them, you could blend them with other herbs, and also bacon. I in fact have a bacon and egg recipe for my rice ball in there that I threw in, which is not traditional, but I thought, hey, Americans would love this.
Right, exactly, and I think that is so true. And so now we have this book, Rice Craft, and again, published by Chronicle Books, who always does such a great job in being able to share great messages. And then you have the couple with the pictures as well. I mean, that definitely. I mean, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words in the book. But to be able to have these delicious meals presented to us definitely makes them, you know, more tempting to us. Have you found that to be the case as well? That when people are able to see it, they look at it and say, oh, well, that doesn't look too difficult, and that makes them more prone to want to try it.
Yeah, well, definitely, because I've done so many workshops with hundreds of children, you know, never made a, you know, rice ball. Well, in Japan, we call it onigiri, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I decided you know, not, you know, if you can't call it onigiri, call it, or you could also call it omusubi, but you could call it a rice ball. But it's like making a snowball. That's basically what it is, and anybody can do it. You know, you just have to make sure the rice doesn't stick to your hand. So you, you know, moisten a little bit with a little bit of water and dab some salt, sea salt on it, and you just mold the rice with your hands. I mean, if anybody's eaten sushi, you know how sushi is. It's a little rice ball with which is seasoned with vinegar with some kind of a seafood on top, right? So if you think of sushi, then rice crafts includes sushi also, and also the plain one that doesn't have the vinegared flavors, and that's the one that's called onigiri, but they're cousins. And so if you could, if you can just imagine just molding the rice, little rice balls with your hands, it's it just makes for a wonderful snack.
Right. And I think, too, you know, not just that, but also as the cover alludes to, Sunoco, you know, these are fun to make.
Oh, yes.
Delicious,
the
also
whimsical
healthy.
Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you said pictures. I have kids and even adults get into this, decorate with like edible flowers and nuts and fruit and herbs, and they make them into funny little images of animals, Hello Kitty or whatever, but they get really creative. So part of making food, you know, like making rice bowl, is an opportunity for you to be creative and also eat something that's nourishing, because you know exactly where the food is coming from. You're not buying it at the store.
Right.
So it's fresh, and you're doing it perhaps with your mother, your dad. I mean, there's just a lot of things that lends itself to community and good eating.
For sure. And I think that is what makes this so exciting. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live today. We're excited to welcome to our program today Sunoco Sakai. We're talking with her not only about her new book, Rice Craft, but what it's been like for her to share her own love of cooking and also being able to share with others, in not only, of course, through the printed page like this book, but also, of course, in her classes as well. Another thing I did when I was prepping for your segment, Sunoco, because for one, I wanted to make sure I was pronouncing your name correctly. So I heard an interview you did with NPR where you were talking about, of course, how you've been able to help other people, you know, discover these great flavors and things that are not always easy to find, but also, of course, be able to add them to, you know, to their mind and to their kitchen even. The other thing I want to say about Rice Craft is that there are so many of the items that are in there that are so not only, I think, appetizing to look at, but they also look so elegant. Do you find that that's also something that people are realizing, that this is something you can serve at a party, something that you can have, you know, just to, as an addition to your meal, that there's so many different ways and also occasions that this food can be enjoyed?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it can work as an appetizer. It could be breakfast food. It could be lunch. You could put it into your bento box. In fact, it is the star of the bento box in Japan. All mothers really try really hard to make the prettiest rice balls. And I call it a centerpiece of the table. It's Japan's number one comfort food. You thought it was sushi. No, sushi is just something more high-end. And I was actually surprised that sushi came to America before these onigiris, rice balls, arrived. And that's, just think of, you could just put like a grilled salmon from last night's dinner, just flake it and put it into your rice ball and mold it and wrap it with a piece of nori seaweed, or just not even wrap it, just like mold it with a little bit of like pinch of salt and some fresh pepper and sprinkle it with some chopped dill, and you have a rice ball, and you could take that to lunch. It's so much better than, buying something that's processed and sold at the store. I highly recommend you try making this at home.
Well, one of the things that I said I want to try this month, and I want you to hold me accountable to this, Sunoco, is I want to try, because it looks so good, the tuna melt onigiri.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, it looks delicious, and I love tuna, so I thought, you know, that would be a great one. Talk to us about that one. I mean, what it's been like for you to see the response to the recipe.
It's so much. The way I was inspired to do that one is I when we moved back here, back to the States, to Los Angeles, my parents took us to Bob's Big Boy. It's a diner here, and they served a patty melt, like a tuna patty melt, which is basically toasted bread, buttered bread with tuna and melted cheese. And I thought, God, this is so good. But I wanted to try that on rice, you know. And so I made a rice ball and brushed some butter on it and stuck it under the broiler with some tuna mayo, you know, like a tuna salad, and finished it with some grated cheese and let the cheese melt over it. So, and it came out so delicious, you know, with a little bit of chives. And instead of eating it with my hands, I just use a fork to eat that one. But it's so good. So it's a grilled onigiri, grilled rice ball.
Yeah. Well, it looks delicious. So I
it is.
That, yeah. So that's the one that I'm going
gotta,
to try. Yeah.
I guess you got to have your cheese there, huh?
Yeah, I do. I have to say, I love cheese. I love cheese.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the other one that I think, because I think for a lot of people when they think of, I know my mom, when I take her to, especially to a Chinese restaurant, she always has to have her sushi. She loves sushi. And I think, you know, it's because of her, I think, that I – you know, was able to try it. I always said, you know what, I don't think I want to try sushi. But I think, you know, what is so interesting is that there are so many different, as with everything else, there's so many different variations to it.
Yeah,
think,
it doesn't have to be raw fish.
Right.
That's what it is. It's like it could be cooked, it could be smoked salmon on a piece of, you know, rice. And so start creating your own rice ball, right?
Right. Exactly.
And tuna is a can of tuna is so versatile that it's actually that tuna mayo combo, spicy tuna mayo is the most one of the most popular onigiris in modern day Japan.
Yeah.
If you go to any convenience store, you'll find it.
Well, since I mentioned bacon earlier, Sunoko, I have to mention the other recipe that I want to try because I think I want to surprise my mother with this one. Hopefully she's not listening there on the radio dial in Mississippi, but the bacon and scrambled egg or rice ball that you have there. I mean, talk to us about that and the flavors. I mean, the flavors just, you know, sound so delicious.
But what was
it like for you for that one?
Well, that was like an accident. I was just playing with bacon, and it's just, you know, anybody makes a scrambled egg. So it's almost like making fried rice, but just make some scrambled eggs and just mix it into your plain rice and make the rice balls, you know. And so hopefully you've already seasoned your eggs, so it already has the flavor. And then top it with some crispy bacon. So these little bacon and egg onigiris, they look like little kind of funny little guys, right, with a hat on. The bacons are all very crispy, and I just thought they were the cutest thing.
Right.
They're delicious, too. That would make a good party food, by the way.
Exactly. And yeah. I want to say this because I want to just kind of go through a little bit of the recipe here for that one and to make the point about how many it serves. Because, for those who have the print edition of the book, I mean, you all will appreciate this. It's on pages 98 is where you'll find the great photo, and then the recipe is on pages 99 and 100. And there you'll see it takes 3 eggs, 2 1/4 teaspoons of sea salt, 1/4 a teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1 tablespoon of butter, 1 green onion, and then the recipe that is for either white rice or multigrain or brown rice that you can find in the book, and then 6 ounces of cooked bacon. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're able to divide it into the portions that Sunoko gives us, you're able to make 12 balls. That's enough. I thought about that, Sunoko. That's enough for definitely my mom, my brother, and I. I mean, we probably shouldn't eat that many, but we would.
Are you planning to have that as a snack or for breakfast?
I you know what? I thought about for breakfast. Is that too many?
Yeah, do it for breakfast. You know what? You could even, instead of making 12 balls, just make them bigger.
Got you.
Yeah, because these are little, they're just mouth, you know, bite size.
Right.
Because they're meant to be like appetizer size, but there is no rule about how big these rice balls should be. They could be, and they could also be shaped into barrels, triangles. Triangle actually is interesting enough, like a pyramid. It stands very stable, so it could stand up where like a round one would like roll around, right?
Right.
And barrels and disc shapes are also very stable.
Yeah. You know what I had not thought about before your book, Racecraft, and I think our audience probably will think about this too. I know in Mississippi we call it sticky rice, but people may have different things that they call it. It's a dessert here. And I thought about, you know,
oh my
what?
God.
Yeah, and
oh,
so
yeah.
I thought, you know, wow, you know, there are already so many, you know, recipes and ideas that people have for rice that we don't even think about are out there.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about sticky rice until I was reading Ricecraft and thought, oh, yeah, you know, because I was like, wow, rice, a recipe book with rice. You know, it just seemed like something I had never heard of. But, you know, I think that is the great thing. I bring that up for this reason, though, because I think, you know, all of these, of course, I think they can be really family affairs, right, Sunoco? Because the kids can get involved in molding them and making them
right. Right. It's so much fun to decorate them. I mean, I work mostly with kids. I do these New Year's events, and I'm doing a Halloween rice ball making contest in San Francisco. I mean, I get hundreds of kids involved in making them. You should see how many funny pumpkins and ghosts I get out of these rice balls, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. But yeah, you got to try it. It doesn't really take that much. And people just need to know, you know, just, you know, short grain rice does need to be soaked, you know, all rice needs to be soaked in water for about 20 minutes. So that's a very important part. So let the dry rice absorb some water and follow the package instructions to cook it. But you could use medium or short grain rice, and that's the family of sticky rice.
Gotcha. Well, what a great thing. And I think, you know, the main thing is to have fun doing it. And I think if you're able to do that, that definitely makes it all the more better for sure. Again, everyone, Sunoco Sakai is our guest for this segment. We've been talking with her not only about her own love of cooking and sharing, but also how she's been able to now be able to give us that and more in her new book, Rice Craft. And again, you have great recipes that are healthy, yummy, and fun to make, as we've been talking about here. There are two recipes, Sunoco. You have my word. I'm going to be making for myself to be able to try, and I'm going to be sharing it with my audience because I'd love to be able to see what they think, and I invite them to do the same thing, to be able to pick recipes and to be able to share them with others, because who knows, you might entice someone else to want to give it a try as well. Do you have, if someone is asking you about, you know, as a beginner in the kitchen even, Sunoco, do you have any advice as to a great recipe for them to start off with?
Start off with peas. Easy peasy recipe. Just get some peas, fresh or frozen, or like lima beans, and blend that with the rice and with maybe some chopped ginger and a little salt, and make that into a rice ball. See where that takes you. That's the easiest one. That's the first recipe in my book.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that sounds easy enough. So they should be able to do that for sure.
Yeah.
So much fun. Sunoco, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Again, everyone, the book is available through our friends at Amazon.com. It's published through Chronicle Books, so you want to make sure that you be able to visit their website at chroniclebooks.com. Sunoco, is there a website that you would like to share as well?
Yes, it's called cooktellsastory.com.
All right. So make sure you all are.
Yes, and you could find out about my workshops. I do come out to the Midwest, too. Maybe you'll come visit me. You could share onigiri.
There you go. Sounds like a plan. I love that. Well, you know, Sunoco, thank you so much for making this fun for us. Congratulations again on the book.
Thank you so much.
It goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime.
Okay, thank you.
And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Sunoco, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, be able to share it with your friends completely for free, and also, of course, be able to let other people know how they can be able to hear the conversation with Sunoco as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.